Welcome back.
Hello, friends. Did you miss us?
We're apart.
We missed you.
We're apart again.
We're apart again, but I'm also not dying anymore.
I was going to say Spencer is alive and well. Maybe not well, but alive.
Maybe not well. We did go to the ER after we posted our
so
Saturday
true.
Episode. And I got two bags of fluids and I felt like I was on top of the world, kind of.
And here's the thing is it was so funny because this just shows you how me and Spencer are just all the time. The doctors like came in after her first thing of fluid and they were like, listen, because me and Spencer were acting a fool. It's me and her all the time. And we were just going crazy
cackling
in the hospital. Yeah. And so like the doctor walks in and was like, I know you're feeling better, but we'd like to do another thing of fluids. And when they left, me and Spencer were like, he thinks you're feeling better. Like, listen, it's not our fault.
I was
we're
like,
hilarious.
Just because we're literally hysterical doesn't mean I'm feeling better. It just means that we're hysterical.
We're literally so funny, even in the worst of times.
That's why on the episode, like you probably, if I hadn't said anything, no one would think anything otherwise.
No, it's just kind of our job, you know, giggle through the trauma, you know?
Let's address the elephant in the room, because I think before I have said that I will never purchase a non-Nuggets jersey, okay? But listen.
You had to. It's so good.
If you
it's
also
such a cute
watch
jersey.
The show, you know, though, that my first love was Steph Curry. Just because I don't claim to be a Warriors fan anymore, I will forever be a Steph Curry fan. And I realized I had, like, never had a Steph Curry jersey, and I'm an adult with an adult money
you
now.
Must. Yes.
And also, I, like, saw this. Like, I'm obsessed with these jerseys, okay?
The colors are so fun.
I don't want to hear anyone talking shit. And if you didn't watch the intro and you came to talk shit later, I'm going to reference you. I'm literally going to tag this point in the episode. I'm just going to put the timestamp so we can talk about it and we don't have to talk about it ever again. Okay.
Period. And you know what? While you're wearing that jersey, we should just jump right in. Oh, and if you don't know,
we should jump into sexy
Caitlin.
Sports.
Yeah, that's so smart. We always forget sexy sports. I'm Caitlin. That's Spencer. This is EU Sports. We love sports. And we're going to talk about them, but we're going to start with sexy sports, which is our beautiful, sexy sports highlights of the week, our two favorites, whatever it may be. And Spencer's going to play them for you.
Okay, bless guys. So this first one is, and also if you don't know me that well, you will learn that I love TJ McConnell and I wish he was a Nugget so dang bad. But this is a TJ McConnell steal for an Obi Toppin dunk from yesterday. And it's some sexy basketball. Okay, I love a good dunk.
By 21 in the loss Friday.
Rahe
to Miami, McConnell the steal. Lob it up.
Throw it down.
Throw it down with authority.
Stop. And that steal was like the most perfect little pickpocket I have ever seen. He popped it right out. That was
gorgeous.
Oliver Twist. And oh, and the one-handed dunk. So good.
And the next is the game ceiling, which what a loser. Dyson Daniels only had like four blocks yesterday and no steals until.
Right. Loser.
The very end.
Fox gets in.
And there's De'Aaron in the corner.
Take it away. Daniels got the steal, and the Hawks have won the game.
Yeah.
The Hawks
won by 1 point.
I was going to say, and that's huge for him because that was the game ceiling block. Like that solidified their win. De'Aaron Fox could have easily put in that mid-range. So pretty impressive by him, man. That kid is something else.
We should talk about the Warriors, though, because I did have the last 35 seconds of game footage to show everyone.
Did you?
I did.
You
want to go
out
and watch it now?
You wanted to show it? All right, go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. So this is the last 35 seconds, by the way.
Smells blood in the water.
Ready? Curry, pass. Curry's going
to
go back out.
Curry. This is
and okay. One more chance. Nice
Green
save.
Saves it.
Okay, back
five
out.
To play. Curry gives it up. Payton for the tie. Oh, my goodness. And the Clippers are...
Warriors lost.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to talk about this real quick because I'm going to say a couple things. First of all, the Timberwolves and the Celtics, that's who the Warriors decided to be yesterday. They decided that on an off shooting three night, they were going to continue chucking them up. And it was so bad. Literally, we could not make a shot. And I'm not even going to say this wasn't. Did you get a chance to like watch the game or watch highlights or anything like that?
Sure did.
Okay. Yeah. So this game, I'm not even like, it didn't really make me like super upset at the Warriors. Like I wasn't angry at the loss. They made a lot of stupid mistakes by chucking up threes a lot.
Honestly. Okay. So like everything was even. Because I was like, how did they, when I was looking at the stats after, I was like, how did they lose? Because if you didn't look, like the Warriors were shooting 44% from the field, Clippers 42.7. The Warriors made 16 threes. Of 44, and then the Clippers also made 16 of 34. So they just shot 10 less. But the Warriors missed 10 free throws.
Yep, that's what I was gonna say. Did you see the thing that I reposted? It was like Steve Kerr. All right, guys, we really got to get practicing our free throws. Let's get to the line and start putting up free throws. And then it's just a video of the Warriors all bouncing basketballs off their head back and forth to each other. It's the funniest thing I have ever seen. But yes, Kuminga missed three in a row, and you could tell he was pissed off at himself. And then everyone else just
rightly
kept missing them.
So.
As he should be.
As
yes,
you
I mean,
should be.
If you think about it, just because like the free throws are not in gameplay, so like they're literally just free shots that they missed, if they would have even made half of those, we would have won the game. The game we would have won.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. My darling.
And you know, and you were talking about like the threes and everything like that. I think you were on your way home when the Warriors game first started. And I think you had just gotten home when it was what, second, third quarter, maybe?
Sure.
Something around there. But I don't think you saw the first quarter though, is what I was gonna say, because the first quarter was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life, Miss Ma'am. They could not make a shot.
I saw the last half.
I was going to say, that's what I thought. That's what I thought when you got home from the airport. So the first quarter of the Warriors game, we missed everything, including the free throws, everything. And I kept telling Jason, I was like, all they need to do is drive. I don't know. Like literally there's 16 threes. I'm not even joking. Like 14 of them came in the second half. Like literally they were making nothing, not a single thing, not a single shot. They were missing everything. And it's like their defense was fine. Like it's not like the Clippers were having like an exceptional scoring night or anything like that.
They were making everything.
Exactly. Yeah. And so
there's nothing worse than when you're the team and then you're missing everything and the other team is making everything. It's just,
that's exactly how it was. We came back, and you know what? We only ended the first half down by 11. And at one point, we were down by like 15, maybe even 17. And so it was like getting worse and worse. So we only ended the half by 11, and we only lost the game by 3. And so given the circumstances, I'm not super pissed off at it. But I literally, if they do not sit at the free throw line and only shoot free throws for the next 3 days, I'll be pissed off, because that's literally what lost them the game. Their defense was fine. They were making great plays.
They literally made more shots.
Yes.
The only reason is because
in
the free throw, like there wasn't even a disparity. It was just the fact that the Warriors missed their free throws.
They missed so many. Yes. So like I was like, besides like the first quarter and a half of the Warriors literally missing so many shots, like Steph didn't start making shots literally until the second half. He finally came out in the third quarter and they were like, oh, there's Steph Curry. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank God.
Thank God.
Literally. And so they didn't really start making shots till the second half. So it was overall just a really bad like game for them, mostly in the free throw department and then in the first half shooting. But the Clippers looked great. Norman Powell, I'm getting tired of you. I'm over you averaging 23 this season and coming out of nowhere.
Literally.
It's unfair.
Before we moved on to the Clippers, I just had a, what has happened to Brandon Pajemski?
I don't know. He was zero for four. Yeah.
And missed two free throws. He made one. So he had 1 point.
Yeah. I feel like, and you know what? Maybe I'm wrong because I don't obviously know how their locker room is or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But he's been off on shooting all season, and like he's still like one of the best plus minuses. Like he's great on defense. He's great at manipulating defense and making other stuff happen when he's not getting like actual stats. Like the eye test says that he's doing okay. Stats say that he's doing terrible. At this point, he's really kind of like the last guy in their 12-man rotation because he has been playing the worst. So I don't really know. I don't know what's wrong with it. He's not making anything.
He seemed so like he was going to be such a, like a big up and comer last year, and I feel like he's like faded into the background of this like really deep roster.
No, 1000%, and that's kind of exactly how I feel, like, because like I said, it's not like he's he's definitely not making shots, and when you're on a team that has a 12-man rotation, like a comfortable 12-man rotation, and you're the one that's consistently not making shots, you're not going to get a lot of minutes and you're not going to really be a part of that. When he is on the court, thankfully, obviously, you have several other guys who can make shots. But it's just, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I've been trying to like watch and find out what's wrong with him. And I'm sure that he's frustrated as hell because.
What's wrong with him?
Literally. I mean, you know, like he was leading the league in charges last year. And he was leading all guards in rebounding.
He had five with rebounds Russell Westbrook. Last night. So like that's
exactly.
Fine.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Is like he's like the kind of guy, like when he's not making his shots, he'll go out there and he'll do other stuff, and he recognizes that.
I just feel like he's been like such a non-factor this season. I'm surprised.
He has. I agree. I don't really know what that's about. I've always really liked him. I've always been high on him, just like personality-wise, because he's one of those guys that's like, I always want to get better. I always want to do better. Like, I'm going to study film. I'm going to be the first one in, last one out. I'm going to work hard. He's that kind of guy. And so, like, I feel like it'll come. Like, I feel like the play will come. But right now, it is not. It's just not his time. And the Warriors have several other people to put in front of him. So I just think it kind of sucks for him. And he just hopefully, I think, like, Steve Kerr kind of recognizes that, too, and is just, like, still putting him in. Like waiting for kind of like him to catch fire one day and kind of get those shots
again. Steve Kerr likes him or is high on him.
Steve Kerr does. And it's because of exactly what I was just saying. Like he's someone that does work hard and he's super mature and exactly. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see kind of how the rest of the season pans out for him because it's been a really rough start.
But yes, moving on to the Clippers. James Harden, 16 assists. Zubats with 17 rebounds.
Yeah, they played the entire.
What's embarrassing though is like
Clippers team played great.
They literally did have to have the Warriors have like an off night for them to.
Totally. That is so true. They really did. Mm-hmm. For them to beat the Warriors by three, they had to have the Warriors.
James Harden had
10 free throws,
12.6 rebounds, 16 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. But bestie Harden, JK, he's so far from my bestie. He's literally
good. I know you don't love him.
He shot 4 of 15 from the field. Disgusting. Norman Powell shot 9 of 15 from the field for 23 points.
I'm so mad.
But he doesn't do anything else. 23 points, 1 rebound, 0 assists.
He doesn't do much else. He's a great shooter. And that's actually, it's funny that you say that because I was actually watching some stuff today and reading up on it too. And apparently over the summer, Ty Lue said like before the season started with like Kawhi out, they were like, we're going to really need like to help James Harden with scoring. And then like Norman Powell, you've got a great shot. Like I want you to shoot. Like I want you to be throwing up shots. And so that's what he's been doing. I guess Ty Lue was like, he's been doing exactly what I asked. I just want him to, like, when he's open, I want him to shoot. I want him to feel confident to score with this team and to be that helper while Kawhi's out. And that's all he does.
Interesting.
I know. Well, apparently if you got, you know, Zubac getting 17 Zubats. Rebounds. Is that how they pronounce it?
Yeah.
I'm never going to get good at these names ever.
Zubats.
Oh my God. You want to know what I was going to say though? It's so good seeing Mo Bamba play again and just be like healthy. And he's playing really well. And
he's been like, calling my motherfucking phone. You know that song?
Nope. But I was vibing with it.
It's called Mo Bamba.
Stop. It is. That's so funny.
Shit. Bitch. Yeah, I'm Shaq West and I'm getting really rich. Ding, ding. It's a song they play in the bars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Well, I wouldn't know.
Really?
Wouldn't know. Not me. Me went to my first bar in March.
Magic beat the Suns minus Paolo.
And the Magic without Paolo are actually on a 5-game winning streak, which I love to see because they are...
It's 5 in a row now?
Mm-hmm. And they're setting up their team to just be in a really good position for when Paolo comes back.
Yeah, Franz Wagner with 32 points.
My guy's going crazy. He's going crazy.
He shot 50%.
I know. And like the whole team, you know what? I feel like it took them a few games, and you could probably agree with me here, or you will probably agree with me here, but like I feel like it took them a few games to really get comfortable without Paolo.
Oh, 100%.
And like find their identity without him, but they've ended up doing really, really well. And I mean, like there are guys that have come out of nowhere. Obviously Jalen Suggs is doing well. He had kind of an off night. He didn't really do too much last night. KCP still hasn't really fully found his place on this team yet, but for the most part, like other guys, I know, for the most part, other guys though are showing up out of nowhere on this team and just doing their thing.
Orlando Magic. Oh, Orlando Magic. I do miss Paolo, though. I want him to come back.
I do, too. I think I'm sure his team does, too. But I hope that their team takes like what they've built on over like the last 5 games. And then like when Paolo comes back, they just kind of like slide right in and just have like additional scoring, additional defense. They have their leader back. And I hope that they don't like, you know, come like take a step backwards from everything that they've built while he's been out.
Meanwhile, the Suns, again, they're still losers without KD.
They are. And you know what? They didn't even have to bench Nurkic this time. He was just out with an injury.
Bol Bol got 5 minutes.
Bol Bol. He did get a singular point. Bol Bol.
I just want to say that Devin Booker has got to be better.
Oh,
I didn't say this already, literally in our last episode, he has got to do so much better.
And he started out so well this season, too. And I feel like the last like week or so, he's just been really struggling. Like his shooting hasn't been on par. He's been making he hasn't been assisting as much.
He's been making worse passes. Like 30%.
Yeah.
Or like 35.
Yeah. And he's just, you know, he's creating turnovers or making turnovers that like he wouldn't normally do. Yeah,
stupid
turning the ball over. Yeah, exactly. He's just turning the ball over on stuff that he wouldn't normally turn the ball over on, like bad passes.
He's not taking care of the ball.
For sure. Yeah. And so I don't know if that's just like a mental thing and he'll get out of it, but it's definitely been a tough week for him. And obviously, as we know, they have a center problem. Nurkic was out. Obviously, Bol Bol got 5 minutes. Mason Plumlee did all right. He had 8 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. And I feel like that's probably, besides Nurkic's one really big game, that's probably the best we've seen from these centers on
this
team.
That's so embarrassing.
Isn't it? It really is. But Tyus Jones had a fantastic night. I love when Devin Booker's off. It's really nice that Tyus Jones kind of took the reins and did some of the shooting as well. He had 18 points, 2 rebounds, 8 assists. He's a great assister, great, you know, shot creator and everything too. And I'm sure those assists would have been higher had some of the guys been making their shots a little bit better.
Do they have a timeline of when KD or Beal are coming back?
KD is supposed to be reevaluated on Friday of this week to see if he's ready to come back.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about Beal, though. I haven't heard about Beal. So what? I don't know what
they're going to do.
I don't know what they're going to do either. And, you know, they're currently 9-6. So it's not like it's not like it's the end of the world. But this is their third loss in a row, all coming without KD. And now Devin Booker kind of struggling a little bit. I don't know if maybe Devin Booker struggling has to do with not having KD on the court. KD probably does make things easier for him.
Of course.
You know, because obviously KD has like that gravity and it gives Devin Booker, you know, more open looks. So his shot is falling a little bit more.
Well, and the spacing is just so awful when you don't have your two other shooters out there. Like, correct. You have your backups.
Yeah, they've got a really weird, roster right now, because they were already had like a small roster, not a super deep team. And now you have some of your most important guys out, you know. Now this last game they had KD, Nurkic and Beal out. And so I'm like, you're playing with a totally different roster, you know, with these guys that have maybe only played a couple games this year or have only played, you know, 10 minutes in a game. Yeah. So you're kind of expecting a lot from them. I obviously assume when KD and Beal come back, they'll probably be back to the beginning of the season Suns. But they're definitely struggling currently.
Moving on to another team that can't win.
Which one?
The Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets. Guys, if you can, our silence is loud.
Listen here. If you are putting up 40 points in the past 5 games, I don't give a single flying fuck if you fly to New York. But if you fly to New York for a UFC fight after shooting 30% and then you do it again the day after, I'm on your ass.
Yeah.
Because what are you doing?
And you know what?
Tell us, like, you don't care about winning these games without telling us you don't care about winning these games.
Thank you. And like, I think like my thing is that bugs me, because like I get like people having off nights, people playing like crap sometimes. But like, if they're at least trying and like playing hard, like the Warriors played like ass. Literally that first half yesterday, they played awful. But the entire time they were putting in work, they kept that same pace. They were playing hard. They were working hard. I have not seen that from the Nuggets like at all, especially Jamal Murray. Like, Jamal just looks like he does not want to be there. And I think that's what bugs me the most, is that, like, if he was, like, working super hard and just, like, having an off shooting night or whatever it may be, and then he decided to, like, go to a UFC fight.
Bestie, he's had an off shooting night since the season started.
Last year. Yeah. No, I know. That's what I'm saying, is, like, if I'm talking about like any other player, like if you're someone else and you're just like having an off shooting night and then you're going to go to a UFC fight the next day and then you come back and then you're still having an off shooting night, but you're trying, like, that's one thing. But like, you've been playing consistently bad all season, and like, you're walking during games, you're jogging during games, you are playing so horribly, you're making stupid plays, you're acting like you don't care. Like, literally body language on him screams, I could not give an F about this
when
game
Nikola
right now.
Jokic and Aaron Gordon are out, you better be shooting the lights out, okay?
And like, just care about the game. You are now the leader. Like, Jokic is gone. You're supposed to be the number two.
Personal foul on you. Because what the heck? And I'm fully aware that this has like divided a lot of people, because some people are like, he can do whatever he wants in his free time. Like, it's like they don't have to be in bed. Do you think all of them were in bed by 8? It's not about that. It's about being a leader. And they're like, you don't think his coaches obviously knew where he was going? Obviously, that's doesn't matter if they said yes. It is a personal choice that he should have thought in his head, this is a bad effing look. You know, we all know that Jordan used to like go gamble until like 3 a.m, but he would play a game and drop 40 on your ass. Okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing more embarrassing than not only your like your top players, like your other top, like your, first of all, your main leader. And then, you know, usually your third or fourth guy being out. And instead of like being with your team and leading, because you are a veteran now, you are making max contract money.
$60 million a year.
It's 50, I think.
$50 million a year.
$50 million a year. That's $50 million more than I'll ever see in my lifetime.
Literally.
And you're going to a UFC fight in New York when you have a matinee game this next day. I'm assuming you're not leaving New York until like 1 a.m, 2 a.m. And I'm assuming you're getting to Memphis. That's like a 3 hour flight, 2.5 hour flight. You're getting there at 4 a.m.
So sorry.
And then you proceed to show up and play like ass. Okay. I'm not here for it. And I'm not like, here for people defending it either.
No. And I think like the even more frustrating part is that like, if you think about it, like if you really put in like the time that he would have had to have like taken, like he played a late game on Friday night. It was in Denver, wasn't it? A late game. No, it was in New Orleans, Memphis. Right? I thought Memphis was Sunday.
Sorry. It's Memphis back to back now. Yeah. Sorry. New Orleans.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But like, so I'm like, you're in New Orleans. Okay. Like playing a late ass game. Like if it was over for us at like 10 PM, it was over, or I guess at like 9 PM, it was over for him at like 10 or 11. Okay. And then like you literally walked that entire game.
You have to do media. You have to shower. You're probably out of there exactly. at like 2 AM.
And then you get on a private flight to New York, which then pushes the time frame, you know, like it pushes your what's it called, pushing the time zone out like another hour. And then you're spending the entire day doing crazy stuff, going to a UFC fight, hanging out there all night again after you could not have given two shits about your game last night. And then you're just playing around all day and going to this UFC fight, and then you're in New York, and then you have to get on a flight in the middle of the night in New York and go down to Memphis and then play at 4 p.m. I'm like,
so many,
and then you just
too,
play another game like you didn't care.
So many people too were like, well, like he loves UFC. Like he's probably been planning this. Sucks. You're in season. There's so much shit that people miss during season. People miss literally like birthdays and all like all this other thing. And like weddings are planned around this. Like, I'm so sorry you didn't get to go to your UFC fight after you just had like 5 days off, dude. Like, really?
You signed a contract. You signed a contract.
If he's playing on fire, I'd be like, Jamal deserves it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
take your time off.
Yeah. His head's in the game. He's being a great second option, especially with Jokic out for personal reasons. But he's not, okay? So, like, this is why. And, like, I guess, the, like, oh, double standard. I don't care. Like, he's not playing great, so he doesn't deserve to go have fun. I don't care. It's just, it's such a bad look. And it's such a bad look for the young guys, in my opinion, too. Like, he's not playing great, but he's Jamal Murray. So, like, he gets to go to the UFC fight while they're all in the hotel by 10.
Yeah, well, and it's like, lead by example. Like, you need to be setting that example for your guys.
Even if the coaches said yes, lead by example. Or don't get seen at the UFC fight. Like, I literally, and what's worse is I made a joke.
It was frustrating.
I literally made a joke on the night of the Paul Tyson fight because
I remember you were like, better not see Jamal there.
And I was like, I better not see his ass like catching a private flight like over to Dallas real quick right after the game he just played. And then the next night he pops out in New York. I was like, of course.
This is so silly.
Yeah, the Nuggets cannot win without Nikola Jokic. I don't know. What's worse is the fact that they so they beat the record for the best offensive rating, you know, on the floor with a player with Nikola Jokic. Yeah. And then they also beat the record for the worst offensive rating without Nikola Jokic on the floor.
I'm so dead.
They are playing like a literal lottery team.
Oh, no. I'm not even joking. Like, it literally seems like they forget how to play basketball when Nikola Jokic is not on the court.
They do. I don't even know what to do because Jamal Murray's just been playing so, so bad. And I'm like, it's the fact that we literally like are giving a guy $50 million that's like literally never reached an all-star game. And like, he's not going to make one this game.
No, there's no way he gets an
I would
all-star
say literally the
year.
Only bright side has been Dario Saric getting a little more comfortability. He had a double-double, 10 points, 10 rebounds.
I was going to say, and he looks good, and he looks a lot more comfortable getting these extra minutes.
We needed a guy getting extra rebounds. Julian Strother shot 46.2%. He had 19 points, more than our $15 million.
I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, and then
the young
Christian
guys
Brown,
are getting comfortable too.
Christian Brown, 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. It's like the person that's worst are our starters.
Is
without.
Your max contract guy?
Guys, because even guys. Porter had 10 points.
Oh, he is.
That's
so
unacceptable.
True.
Your literal second option and third and fourth, depending on the day, but third without Aaron Gordon there and second without Nikola Jokic there. Your first and second option that are making $30 and $50 million a year are doing less work, putting in less work than your young guys.
And they just, I think like that's like the most frustrating part is like they just like they look like they don't want to be there. Like,
and
that's,
I literally,
that's like the stuff that makes me mad.
I literally feel like they, because Jokic is out again tonight. And I literally feel like he should just sit on the bench until they figure how to get a win without him.
No, literally. Sorry, Jokic doesn't come in until you guys can win without him. Best of luck.
Best of luck. We're waiting.
Yeah, because
do better.
It's embarrassing. And hopefully we get AG back soon, too. And hopefully Jokic is happy with his tiny new baby and can come back and they can start winning. But like the
we're
Nuggets
not for sure
need to
if he had a baby. But we think that's what happened.
I feel like, yeah. I feel like hopefully.
No one, there's been no official announcement, but that's what everyone's come to the conclusion of. I hadn't seen Natalia at the game, which I was like, games, which I've like been to a lot this year. So I was like, I wonder if that has something to do with it, that she was pregnant. But
I guess someone said that
he doesn't want it being announced. So if that's
so true.
Apparently everything's fine with his family, but he is out for personal reasons.
Period.
But also, please come back. I'm begging. My eye's starting to twitch. Jokic, it's that time of year again. Please don't do this to me.
He needs to save us.
Oh, and another thriller the last night. I was texting Kayla. I was like, there were kind of a lot of upsets. The Hawks won by one. They won by one. A win is a win is a win is a win.
A win is a win. And I just want to, you know what? Like, because I don't want to like discount the Hawks. Or not the Hawks. Yeah, I guess the Hawks. I don't want to discount the Hawks. Because
they're not great.
Because they're not great, but they did have a really good game. They took advantage of a injured Kings team. The Kings were without DeMar DeRozan, DeMontis Sabonis, and Malik Monk is still out, obviously. So they did have several good players that were out.
That's an ouch.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, but good on the Hawks for taking advantage of that and doing what they could. I mean, literally, Trae Young shot horribly. He was like 1 for 7. But he took the
literally
shooting like crap.
Literally.
Yeah. But he took the shooting like crap and he decided to put it into assists. He had 19 assists, which I'm not a really big Trae Young fan. Again, when Spencer and I aren't really fans of people, it's really just that we're not fans of their game. And I just, I don't love the way that he plays. I feel like he plays what I like to call unethical basketball with like the foul grifting and just like, you're trying to get points that you wouldn't normally get if you just shot the ball. And, for me, I want to shout him out though, because we talk about this all the time. I love when people are sucking somewhere and they come out and they impact the game elsewhere. And 19 assists is fantastic for a point guard. I haven't seen him put up numbers like that in a really long time.
19 assists and only 5 turnovers.
Yeah, only 5 turnovers.
Hey. But 19 assists, that is great. He was a plus 15. He was 1 from 7 from the field and had 5 for 5 out of his free throws. But shout out to Dyson Daniels, man. 14 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 blocks. I don't know why they didn't credit him with that, like a steal at the end. I think they counted it as a block.
They did. Right? They called it a block because it ended up going out of bounds right after and it was a blocked shot, I guess. I was going to say, I guess De'Aaron Fox was technically going up with the ball at the time and he got it out of bounds after. So they ended up calling it a block. But it's really funny because like, you know, I'm like watching the whole game and everything like that. And I'm like, Dyson Daniels, Mr. Six Steals a Game, hasn't had a steal yet. And then he still comes out, right? What a weenie. And then he comes out and puts up four blocks, which is just like, this is who he is as a player. And we've talked about this a lot. He's a fantastic defender. He is. If you watch him at all on defense,
but I want him off the Hawks. Again, we've gotten, listen, we've gotten new subscribers, and I still don't think we've had a Hawks fan.
No, we had the one guy. We had the one guy that
he didn't say he was a Hawks fan. He was just saying that the Hawks played really well.
He referred to them as we, so I think that it's like, okay. I feel like that's like him like confirming that it was his team.
Where are you?
I know we talk about this all the time. We don't have a lot of Hawks fans, or we haven't met a lot of Hawks fans, which is funny. I mean, I don't know. They're like one of probably my least watched teams. I will totally admit that. There's like a couple of Eastern Conference teams that I just haven't really like fully honed in on, been watching them more due to Dyson Daniels.
Yeah, Capella, 14 points, yeah. 14 rebounds. Risa Shea,
he had a big game.
Risa Shea, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals and a block.
Yeah.
What's his name? Sorry. DeAndre Hunter, he had a big game, 24 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, shooting 60% from the field. They played well. It just sucks that, like, they played well, but, like, it was against, like, a really depleted Kings
really
team.
A really hurt Kings team. Yeah, and that was after. I mean, literally, De'Aaron Fox had put up, like, 109 points in 2 games, and then he came out this game and had a rough time shooting, and his rough time shooting was still 29 points. 28 points. Thank you. But, yeah, you know, it's just, it's really funny because, like, that's crazy. I mean, shout out to the Kings for still putting up that fight. The Hawks were up 22-6 at one point against the Kings. Like, the Kings could not get in a rhythm. But, yes, Mr. Keon Ellis, despite the loss, he was going crazy.
33 points. He shot 9 triples. He makes me laugh because I think he looks like body shape wise. And like when you look at him from the side, he looks like John Morant.
Yes, 1,000%. And I'm like,
why is John a Kings uniform? But he
had blonde hair. He had his hair half blonde.
He had a monster game. Lyles with 12 points, 10 rebounds. So, unfortunately, they just didn't have like anyone else really like helping with the points. Like Keon Ellis, 33, De'Aaron, 28. And then the next highest was Trey Lyles with 12. And then it was like 9, 8, 2, 8. So when you have Keegan Murray only shooting 3 for 9, making 1 for 3,
what,
he's
seven
like not
points?
Even shooting that much. Yeah. 7 points. So, and you're out Domantas Sabonis, who's obviously a big part of their team, and Malik
a big
Monk.
Part of scoring, rebounding, rim protection. So, I mean, like I said, obviously, shout out to the Hawks for taking advantage of this hurt Kings team and getting a win where they can, because they've been struggling this year. Dyson Daniels is like one of my new favorite players to watch. He is so much fun.
Risa
Shea
is
playing so well as Mr. Number One pick in the NBA draft. He's really showing up. Trae Young needs to fix his shot. He's been rough. Let's just say 5 of his 7 points were free throws. Okay.
Not my favorite.
Yes, but I am happy Bogdanovich is back. Bogey's back, which is great. It looks like he played limited minutes, only 18 minutes, and he was shooting pretty rough. He was only shooting 28%. I feel like he's just
expected
like one of those guys.
When you haven't been played in a while, or when you haven't played in a while.
Exactly. He's such a good player, and I think he'll continue to be that. I think he just needs to get like back into the hang of things playing with his team. Yeah. He did so amazing in the Olympics over the summer, and was a really big part of the Serbian team. So it's always really fun.
We
to
love
watch
him. I want him on the Nuggets.
I know. I'm a really big fan
come
of
over.
His. So come over. I hope he continues to play well. But Hawks pulled that one out. It was a great game. And shout out to Dyson Daniels for that game sealing block, because De'Aaron Fox, that's an easy little mid range for him on like a normal day. So that could have been game over right there.
Read it and weep, losers. This is the
Joel Embiid.
Jesus is real. Again, and he's, you know what? I need to look up if the same refs for that Shea game the other day were the refs for this game.
I'm dead.
Slow clap, besties. You did it.
It
you
was did it. So
and I love
good.
You. I want to send you a cake. I'm going to bake you a cake and send it
31
to you.
31 minutes and not a single free throw.
This is what I live for. This is my white whale. This
literally.
Shay not hitting a single free throw in a whole half and Joel Embiid going a whole game without showing free throws. This is my white whale. And I got it in the same week.
Literally. It's amazing. And
I'm
like,
gonna dance.
And you know what? We talk about this all the time. We're big fans of ethical basketball. I even told Spencer during an earlier episode over the summer that, like, if I could change one thing about the NBA, it would be taking away all fouls except for, like, clear hacks and everything like that. Like, when someone, you know, smacks an arm, like, as hard as they can, like, except for, like, clear hacking fouls. But, like, exactly, like, any touch fouls, any type of, like, light-ass contact, soft fouls, like, they shouldn't be a thing. These guys know how to play through contact. Joel Embiid throwing himself on the floor every time he gets grazed with air is just ridiculous. And so...
I'm going down. I'm yelling
Timber. I'm yelling Timber. You better move. You better dance.
Jared.
Jeremy Kane.
Anyway, Joel Embiid had 0 free throws and ended with 11 points.
Yep.
Bestie. 2 turnovers, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 block. That is like a basic center stat line.
And I just want to say,
not an MVP stat line, I will say. Just a basic.
He has only played 3 games this season out of his team's 13, and he has shot 18 free throws, and that includes the game with 0 free throws yesterday. And so that's just something important to know. And he's only averaging 14 points, and so if you take an average of the free throws as well, that's averaging 6 free throws a game. And so technically he's averaging 8 ethical points a game this season.
Anyway,
so that's all I have for that. But like on the other side of him,
he was also on minus 22. Ha!
Loser. Oh, this team only ended with 89 points. This team cannot score.
Against the Heat.
This team cannot score. I mean, they literally, I'm going to look at like their past games. They've had several games where they have not sniffed 100 points. Yeah,
the thing is, too, is like no one was even like leading the charge, I would say. Like Paul George to me has not been great. Obviously, he shot 5 of 13, 1 for 7 from 3. He's making way too. He obviously left the Clippers because they weren't going to give him the money that he wanted. And and he's not playing like the money he's been given.
Yep.
And then you have Jared McCain, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He was still a minus 18, but shooting 50%, 4 of 9 from 3. We are so high on Jared McCain. If you didn't watch our last episode,
I'm so proud of him.
He is leading. He had 36 minutes as a rookie. Like that's on a 76ers team. Of course you do have Tyrese Maxey out, so like it does make sense, but they just don't. I mean they desperately need Tyrese Maxey back, but
they do.
I mean I came out and said this, like I thought that this was the 76ers best chance because it felt like they had this deep team filled with this
they
talent.
They did,
but
yeah.
They're really not.
Well, Kelly Oubre hasn't really been performing a ton. Andre Drummond has not been the guy that they really wanted him to be. I mean, when you're supposed to be like the backup center and you're only grabbing 5 rebounds and they only have you playing 11 minutes, like that's not helpful. And you know what? Maybe he would have done more if they played him instead of Joel Embiid for several of those minutes. Like if they played him 20 and 20 instead of 32 and 11 or whatever it was. And they get, you know, they split it up a little bit because I just think that like that's the frustrating part for me too. Is that like you just like you never know with Joel Embiid, like you're not going to play for several games and you're going to play like 40 minutes. I'm like, you don't have to go that hard. Like, why wouldn't you just play 20, you know, play 5 minutes a quarter and like try to be as like healthy and spry as possible. I don't know. I said this earlier this year too. I wish he would have taken a year or so off and just completely healed his knees.
I think it was just disgusting that he played in the Olympics because I do think it was just so he could get a gold medal. Like again, like why were you playing for the U.S. anyway? Like you're not from here.
Yeah. So,
like not to be rude, but like France was mad. They were like, why are you not like
they were upset. They were. Yeah.
I know like they had Wemby and everyone, but it just did felt like a little metal chasing, if that's a thing. Chasing, I did want to, before we talk about him getting called out, I just wanted to, this is the Eastern Conference standings.
Wow.
Updated.
So how did I not know that they had the same record as my Wizards?
So Cavs and Celtics tonight, obviously, we can't wait to, we're going to probably talk about that with you.
I'm so excited. Tomorrow.
But yeah, Magic 9-6, Knicks 8-6, Hawks, it's like literally only four teams with a winning record right now. But yeah, you've got, they're all the way down, by they're ranked 14 right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. And even the Bucks, which we'll talk about in a minute, are 5-9. Who shocks me the most is actually going to be the Detroit Pistons. I love seeing them at 7, and I'm hype about the way that they've been playing this year. I feel like they've been playing really competitive basketball. Obviously the 76ers is absolutely asinine to me. The Raptors and the Wizards, we knew were going to be bad. The Brooklyn Nets, we knew were going to be bad. The Bucks and the 76ers being 12-14 right now is crazy to me. I mean,
I think that's the most shocking. And I honestly think that the 15-0 is the most shocking for me with the Cavs.
Oh, like, for sure.
I think I had them ranked like 5th or 4th. But
yeah, me too.
Having them 15-0 and the Celtics at 11-3 is so shocking. Right before
what do you
we
think?
Go
in- I asked all my followers, what do you think? Who do you have winning tonight? Do you, if you just like had to like put out a random guess?
The reason I can't guess is because it literally depends on how the Celtics are shooting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's true. And I guess Donovan Mitchell could be out too. So that would completely change the game.
Yeah, I'll call it closer to the game time and see how I'm feeling. And then just before we finish like with some of our stuff. So we have OKC 11-3, kind of as expected. Or wait, did the Warriors take over? Oh, because they lost.
That was their third loss.
They had taken over.
10-3. Yep.
They had taken over, right?
Yep, they did. They were first place for a day.
Oh, and then Lakers 9-4 has been shocking because they like started losing some. Do you think the Rockets are pretending right now?
No. And I was actually going to say that.
Oh, I think they are.
You think so? Because
I felt like they did this last year. I feel like they're like one all-star vet away from like a really good team.
Yeah, and you know what? They might have. You might be right. I watched their game against the Bucks, and that's what I was going to say. Is like I was watching their game, and I was like, wow, like not only are these guys, like, because if you don't know, like the Rockets are a mostly homegrown team. They obviously have a few players who are not. But for the most part, their guys are like hungry, and you can see that, like, it's like the opposite of the Nuggets, where like the Nuggets are just like lacking so much energy and effort.
It reminds me of the Nuggets, like our championship year when no one thought we were for real. But like, I don't think that the Rockets have enough experience, even like
for sure. I think that if they get in the playoffs or the play-in, they'll still probably be out first round. Like I see them like in OKC last year. Like they're going to look really good during the regular season, but they're going up against an entire Western Conference who has a shit ton of playoff experience. And so I think that that'll kill them in the playoffs. But I do think that, like, I mean, I had these guys at what, 13, 12, 11, whatever it was. Yeah. I had them even out of the play-in. And when I was watching them yesterday, like, they just look healthy and athletic and young. And they're playing such good basketball. Like, they play really well as a team. Like, if you watch them, they play fantastic team defense, and they play really good offense as well. Like, Fred VanVleet is a really great leader on the court, and Alperen Şengün is such a good almost like anchor to their front court and everything. And then the way that they all just like kind of play around each other is like, it's really impressive. It's actually really cool to watch. Like, they have, I guess, like the best way that I could put it is that they've got really great team chemistry. And it really shows. They all look really good together. So I think as of right now, I wouldn't call them pretenders, but I also wouldn't call them contenders. I say that they're going to be a playoff team.
You think they're going to be in the play-in?
Maybe. Yeah. If they start dropping, Suns start winning and Nuggets start winning again. Yeah.
Who do you think from the bottom, like 11 through 15, like, who do you, obviously the Mavs are going to have to take it, but who do you think is dropping from the play-in? You think it's the Clippers? I think so.
Clippers or Kings. Yeah. I mean, I really like the Kings. Yeah, but the only reason I say that is just because of the way that everyone else looks. I also think that the Timberwolves might stay in the play-in. I don't know if with the way that they currently have been playing, I don't know if they have a place in the top six.
Isn't that wild?
But honestly, at this very point in time right now, I don't know if it is. But like I was going to say, is at this point in time right now, I don't know if I feel that way about the Nuggets either. Like, unless the Nuggets figure it out once they get Nikola Jokic back. But like, if no one cares...
This team was built just to have Nikola Jokic, so as long as we have Jokic, I'm not worried. I'm not a sky is falling person. I do think that the team is pathetic without him. Like, have some, bring back shame.
I'm just saying that they're looking bad. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to be like, we're going to go on a 50-game losing streak and we're the worst team in the league. But like, the West still is looking really good. And like, you have a couple of teams that have kind of come out of the woodworks, like the Rockets and the Grizzlies are better this year. And so that means that two great teams are going to have to slide out of the play-in. And so that's why I was saying, it's like, it's kind of hard to choose. Like, I don't know if the Nuggets will be top six because of how good the other teams are. So like, they need to play like they want to be.
You can't put them beneath the top six. Be so fucking for real.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that like the way that they're playing is sad.
Joel Embiid was called out in a team meeting, supposedly. By his team.
Yeah. So apparently,
how we have this information, awkward.
Who's the whistleblower? Who's the whistleblower in that locker room? Yeah. Because so apparently what I'm hearing is that Kyle Lowry was the one that called the team meeting.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah,
I heard Tyrese Maxey was the one that said
The one that kind of led it. Tyrese Maxey and Kyle Lowry were the two that led it, but apparently Kyle Lowry was like the one that was like, we need to do something, and like he called the team.
Let's chat.
We're 2-11, honeys. We have some of the best players in the league on our team. What are we doing? Yeah. And so I guess like Kyle Lowry was like just getting frustrated, obviously, as he should be. You guys essentially are a super team, super injured super team. But essentially you are. And you worked so hard in the offseason to get all these players and to build this team. And now you're 2-11. And so he calls this meeting and Tyrese Maxey and him. I mean, it's literally like staff, coaches, players. And essentially, they were like all holding each other accountable. Like everyone was like, you know, we need to do this better. This is what we suck at. This is where we can all improve. You know, I need this from you, this from you, this from you. But the biggest part that like people are talking about, obviously, because Joel Embiid has played 3 out of 10 games and hasn't showed up in those 3 games, really, is Tyrese Maxey essentially called out Joel Embiid and said, you need to start showing up. Like, apparently he's late to everything, doesn't come to team meetings.
Everything.
Yeah. And like he, you know, shows up late even to like team meetings and to important things and to team outings and practices. And they said that yesterday when they thought he wasn't going to play, none of them had even heard from him all day. He showed up at warmups and that was the first time that they were like, oh, you're playing. And so they planned for him the entire day to be out during shoot around, during all these things. They planned for him to be out. And then he just showed up. And so they're like, if we're not hearing from you the entire day and we think that you're sick and not playing and blah, blah, blah. And then you show up to warmups and you're like, hey, guys, I'm going to give it a go. Dude, be for real. Like, have some respect for your team. Like, that stuff is important. If you want to win, you need to let them know.
If you're the franchise, the face of the franchise, have some respect for your team and be a leader. I have never liked people like that. I mean, like, I'm always, even if I'm not the leader of somewhere, I am always 15 minutes early. I hate being late. I don't want to be that person. Like, I just would prefer for people to be like, oh, yeah, thank God Spencer's always on time. Like, my boss said that was the first thing they noticed about me.
Totally.
Is that, like, you'll, like, come sit in your car until it's, like, time to come in. But, like, you're always there 15 minutes early just in case, like, because you never know. Traffic could happen. I just don't want to be associated with, she's late.
They're
everywhere.
Always late.
Like,
yeah.
I've never wanted to be that person. But I am like a chronic people pleaser. But it's just like, if you're the leader, like, you need to recognize that you are a vet. You've been on this team for God knows how long. You have a lot of new people. You've got rookies. And
you
like,
are this
rookies
team.
Are
you are the
you.
76ers.
Rookies are outplaying you. And you're just like, it reminds me a lot of the Jamal situation. Like, it just seems like you don't care. And if you're already saying, I'm not playing back to backs and stuff like that, like, it already gives an icky taste. Like, you're above everyone. Yeah. Even if you are, and I've always said this, like Jokic has the most reason to act like he's above everybody everywhere.
And he never,
and never acts like it. And yeah. like, that's just, I don't know. And especially like, if it's so bad, like Kyle Lowry, this is his first time on the 76ers. He has to call the team meeting to be like, dude, WTF are we doing?
Yep.
And Tyrese Maxey, who's a young guy, like he, like, I don't think he can be considered a vet yet, but, he's out too, and he's like, no one likes to see you late. So clearly, like, he's not the first person that said something about it.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I think the important thing is, too, is that, like, obviously, I like hearing that, like, Kyle Lowry and Tyrese Maxey and, like, everyone else was, like, really receptive of this because, like, obviously that's important. Like, again, you're the 76ers. You were built. Like, we all talked about how, like, this is their only chance, you know, like this is their year to like really go out and give it their best shot yeah. to get past the first round. And they're just not doing anything. Like, you know, they're 2-11 and these guys are frustrated.
I was like, if everyone's healthy, I think this could be their best chance.
Oh, for sure.
They're not playing. And of course, like they're still battling injuries, but
yeah.
I did think like before that maybe getting PG when he's chronically injured and adding it to like another older superstar.
An injured Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Like might not be yeah. the best. And yeah. So anyway,
I don't know. I'm just, I'm super happy for Jared McCain and I hope that he continues to play well because I think he's just their new face of the franchise. I'm like 76ers. You mean Jared? Jared McCain. That's my guy.
I want him to be off the 76ers though because I don't want to like the 76ers.
I know. And then obviously they need Tyrese Maxey back. I love Tyrese Maxey.
Jared McCain on the Nuggets would feed families.
Oh, our families.
My family.
You and me at least.
Just me. And then last thing before we do some eight magic ball takes, Bucks beat Rockets by one. But the question is,
was he out of bounds?
So basically, in the last 20 seconds, Giannis kicked his leg out at Fred VanVleet on his drive, had a foot out of bounds when he caught the pass after the block. That's what everyone's talking about. And then okay. he set an illegal screen right in front of the ref for Dame for the game winner.
Wow.
Okay, but you'll see him kick his
lead against Giannis. Crosses leg over, shovel pass, and count! Giannis gets the ball!
Oh, but okay, here's where
I saw the foot out right there.
Sorry,
go
guys.
Go back.
So his foot is obviously out of bounds.
It's very clearly
very
out of bounds.
Very egregiously out of bounds. And then, you know, he takes it up. And then, let me turn the sound in a little bit.
Game saving block by Giannis. Final few seconds.
And illegal screen.
Awesome.
Good job, refs.
Awesome. And you want to know what's funny too is that this is the third game just this week that has had a game winner with a missed call right before the game winner that would have impacted. Yes, because and I'm all before I get into the game, because I have something to say about this game. I know I talked a little bit about the Rockets, but I have something to say about the Bucks. Yeah, Julius Randle and Jason Tatum both had game-winning threes, like, at the buzzer this past week, too, and both of them had traveled before their game-winning shot, and the refs missed those as well. So this is now three game winners that have been decided by missed calls, essentially. So I think that that's, I think that that's very interesting. I bet you the refs will be having some meetings. Some meetings, but either way,
some conversations.
Did you get a chance to like watch like the whole game of this one? I didn't get to watch the whole game, but
I watched a little bit of it.
Okay, so I watched chunks of it, like big chunks of it, because that's what I was saying as I was watching the Rockets and everything like that. But first of all, the end of the game, the Bucks went on a 9-2 run to tie the game and win. Like the Rockets were up by like eight with like 2 minutes left in the game. And then the Bucks went on a 9-2 run to win. But what's it called? Brooke Lopez, my guy.
He's so good.
He looked, I was telling Jason, he looked like a 28-year-old, like spry ass athletic.
He shot 73%.
I know. He was
11 for 15.
He was draining logo threes, Spencer.
Zero free throws. He had one free throw attempt and missed it. Five threes made.
Two of 27 them were from points, the logo.
10 rebounds. Double,
two
double.
Of them were from the logo.
I was like, do you Brooke think Lopez. Maybe,
do you think maybe he'd want to come be a backup for the Nuggets?
No, but we could see. We could ask.
No.
We don't. We could ask him. Dude, he looked amazing. I was like, I was watching him and I was like, this is probably like one of the best Brooke Lopez games that I have ever watched. I literally put, Brooke Lopez looked spry. I don't even know what that means, but it felt right. Like he was dunking on people. He had three steals, four blocks.
Three players with double doubles. Giannis had 20 points, 13 rebounds. Dame had 18 points with 10 assists. He's not been shooting great still. He was 6 for 18.
Yeah.
33%. But
so my question to you is,
yeah.
Do you think that those three need to have like perfect games in order for the Bucks to win? Because they have three guys with monster games and they beat the Rockets by one.
I think they need one more person.
So would it be just like Chris Middleton coming back? Is that like what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
Them?
I mean, I think like he's such a huge part of their team. They have so many people that are out.
He really is. I know. They're definitely an injured team. Obviously, we all know how I feel about their coach and everything like that. But I needed to shout out Brooke Lopez. When I was watching that game, I was like, like Dame is really fun to watch when he's shooting really well. And the Bucks are fun to watch just like in general. They're like such a good, just like team when they're whole, I should say. Like they play all really well together. They've had the same team for like a long time. I was like, I'm sorry, Brooke Lopez, are you in your prime? Are you 27 years old and just the most athletic man I've ever seen? It was just so fun to watch. Now, I like 35, 34,
36.
Yeah, I know.
Disgusting.
No, he was literally posterizing people and dropping logo threes. I was like, Brooke Lopez, who the
hell
are you?
He's such an
oddie
body, if that makes sense. He's just built a little funny, but yeah, he's great.
He's one of those guys that like kind of is like lanky and runs around funky. Like
he's the only person I think I like on that team. But Giannis has been playing great. Dame has not. And I wonder if half the reason is because Dame doesn't want to be there.
Attitude is so much.
Attitude is everything. Let's That's do why some Magic 8 Ball takes, though, before we leave you guys. You know what I am going to ask? Do the Cavs win tonight to go 16-0?
Dun, 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 dun. Because if you don't know this already, our Magic 8 Ball was right. Spencer asked last week
if they were going to go 15-0. Because I looked at their schedule and I thought if they beat the Warriors, I thought that was like their toughest matchup and they brutalized them. No offense.
And I just want to say that Spencer asked this when they had only won 9 games. So they won the next 6 games. Fantastic question by Spencer. Will the Cavaliers beat the Celtics today?
Myself.
Go 16-0, as you should. My reply is no. Magic 8 Ball has the Celtics taking this one. Interesting.
I take it back. I'm going to give... I need to know if Donovan Mitchell is playing. Why is he might not playing?
I have no idea. I didn't even see. Someone was just saying that if Donovan Mitchell plays and all is good, if he ends up being out...
Wait, where is the game? Is it home for Celtics?
It's in Boston. So my pick earlier today, at least like this morning when I was just kind of like looking at everything, I think it'll be a close game and a good game. I think the Celtics will take it. I think the Celtics being at home is going to help them a lot.
I think I might go with Celtics because they don't want to lose. You know, like they, you know, always feel like they have something to prove.
And they love to be spoilers. They love to be spoilers. Yeah. And like I said,
as long
like
as they're shooting well, they're fine, in my opinion.
I agree.
Especially Donovan Mitchell is out.
Their defense.
It's like, I don't want to root against the Cavs, though, because I feel like that's what
I know. Me
doing.
Neither. I want the Cavs to win, but I think the Celtics will win.
Okay, we have another question. Do the Nuggets win without Nikola Jokic tonight?
Please be yes. concentrate and ask again. Do the Nuggets win without Nikola Jokic?
Please. Please.
Very doubtful. That wasn't a no. It was just doubtful. And let me remind you, Joel Embiid was doubtful yesterday and he still played. So doubtful doesn't mean no, no, no. Doubtful just means probably not.
Okay. I want to ask an interesting question. We'll have to talk about this soon too. Okay. Is Kyrie overtaking the number one spot on the Mavs?
I would love to talk about this because I have been saying the same thing. All right. Let's ask that first and then we'll chat real quick about it before we go. Is Kyrie taking over the number one spot on the Dallas Mavericks over Luka? Hello? Without a doubt. Dun, da, da, da.
Listen, I want y'all to know that what Kyrie Irving does is not appreciated enough. That man is like poetry in motion. The finishes he makes is so amazing. Incredible. And I think he's had a couple years, maybe not underrated, but I don't even know what to say.
Like, overlooked, I would say. People just didn't care about him because of the PR shit that was going on.
But I just want to say that the things that he does are unprecedented and they're incredible.
Amazing. And Kyrie Irving is one of my favorite players to watch.
They say he's like 6'2". Okay, the NBA lies for everyone, so I'm assuming he's probably like really 6'1", and the finishes, that man, I can't wait to like go more in depth in one day, but when you have someone who's not playing defense and who lets their ego get in the way, that is not the recipe for a win. And
those are not leader characteristics. Mm-mm. Like, that's not a leadership characteristic. And like with Kyrie Irving, he to me has been like the calm. He's been like the woosaw for this team because like I feel like Luka's very like angry and he's emotional. Kyrie is like, let's keep the pace of the game. Let's play like our best basketball.
Oh, we're down by 10. The game is not over. Like, that's what they were saying.
Yes.
Was really helping, like, to have those. You need those vets, though, that are in your ear. And like, come on, guys. Like,
we got
the game.
This.
isn't over until it's over.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I'm so with you. I've been saying for the last couple of weeks that's kind of how I feel. I feel like he's kind of slid into a more like an even more leadership role with this team now. And has just like, he's been playing like a leader as well. He is playmaking. He's one of the smartest basketball players I've ever seen. He's level-headed. It's amazing. He's a fantastic passer.
If you watch a game with him, like, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, that's the toughest shot I've ever seen. That's not going in. And it goes in.
And it goes in every time. He's incredible. So,
he's like falling
and does
like a random hook over the back of his head.
Watching him reminds me a lot of like watching just like Steph Curry in general with like their play styles and like their general demeanor when they play.
Yes.
Exactly. Like they're fast. They move a lot, but like it's calm fast. Like you never feel like it's like the end of the world when they're playing.
It's never scrambling. It's very
exactly.
controlled.
Exactly. Controlled. That's a perfect way to put it. So I'm so with you. I'll be interested to hear like what other people think and obviously just how that pans out the rest of the season.
I am too. Okay, everybody. Well, that was our quickle little recap from the past couple days.
I know we didn't really do a ton. Obviously, Spencer was sick. We're so happy to have her back and healthy-ish. Hopefully, she just continues to feel better and we'll be able to put out so much more content for you guys. I had so much fun taking her to the hospital. Lots of bonding. It was really
great.
Honestly,
that was like the highlight because Caitlin and I just got to be alone.
We literally got to be alone and watch medical shows and just cackle while Spencer got fluids just drained into her.
Isn't she the best, guys? It's so annoying.
No, I literally did nothing except for just hang out. It was so much fun. Stop. I love you to pieces and I would do it over and over again. Every time.
Stop.
I love you. I'm just so happy you're healthy and I'm happy that we're here filming.
I love you and we love you. Again, if you didn't watch the intro, yes. I am Spencer. That's Caitlin. We're so happy to have you. We are going to try and do probably like a 30-minute recap of the Celtics-Cavs game if it's a good one, which I'm assuming it will be. Hopefully everyone's healthy. I would love for everyone to play. I think Porzingis is still out for a while. But other than that, I would love to see everyone playing.
What? I think they said that he has Porzingis, now that you mentioned that, this is so random. Yeah. They said that he's made it to the next stage in his recovery and he's coming back soon. That he's like finally kind of like starting to work on like the ramp up process. So that'll be cool for the Celtics. I know.
Yes. Yeah,
but either way, if you haven't already, like, comment, subscribe. If you're not subscribed, hit the subscribe button. Hit the little dingy bell that tells you when we post. We usually like post videos, a few of these every week.
So other people like get to watch them, comment them, because we'd love to talk to you. Follow us on all our socials and we can talk to you even more. And you can see how crazy I am with basketball during season. We do have merch. We have some fun merch for everybody. And
it's Christmas time. Get your friends some
sports merch. Cute little crops, baby tees or regular tees. Who cares? Hats, I don't
Tanks
know.
Tanks we have for the guys, gals, theys, and gays, baby. Anyone. Anyone and everyone.
Anyway, we will probably 99% talk to you tomorrow, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Love you, miss you, bye.
Love you, miss you, bye.